Now, we've had our times of worship and praise and some time to get acquainted, but I really feel like the Lord has laid this message so intensely on my heart. I thank you for those who have been praying, the intercessors and my family praying, that God will allow this to come exactly the way he wants, okay? It's a little different for me. It's a little different for our church. But as we've prayed and prayed over it, I feel the Lord has a word for us today. So, God, I just make myself available to you, Lord. I ask that you would just, by your Holy Spirit, you would activate the words you want spoken. We thank you for the Logos word, and we thank you that today you will give us Rhema word to our lives, God. And Lord, I pray for the hearts and the ears of the listeners. I pray for attention. I pray that sleep will be not in this place right now. I pray that we would be awake, oh God, to hear what you want to say, Lord. As the scripture says, awake, oh sleeper. Lord, we wake up and we listen to your word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. For several weeks, Pastor Dave and I had been talking, and we've been talking about the situation in this world, which is very troubling, especially our nation. It grieves me so deeply to know there's so much fighting and disunity. As a matter of fact, Pastor David said that the Lord had given him a word, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And that's a trick of the enemy to divide us. But what I find is that sometimes our hearing gets so dull. We just want to turn off. We're just so disgusted of hearing all of this junk, of hearing fighting, accusation, lies. I mean, have you ever wondered how a person can be on camera saying something, and then all of a sudden they'll say, I never said that? It's like, excuse me, is our sense of hearing and rationalization, is it gone down the drain with everything else? But, you know, in Matthew 24, the disciples had come to Jesus, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter right now, but I encourage you, when you go home, read Matthew 24, because they were around the beautiful temple, and the disciples were very curious as to know what would be the signs of the end of the age. They didn't know if Jesus was going to do a coup against the Roman Empire. They didn't know what was going to happen. They fully didn't understand the times they were living in. And it's interesting. They said, Jesus, tell us about what will be the signs of the end of the age. And in Matthew 24:24, it says, for false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders. Listen, to deceive people, to deceive, if possible, listen, even the very elect, to deceive if possible, even the elect chosen by God. The elect means not just clueless people walking around who've never accepted Jesus as Savior. The elect can be you and me. The elect can be Christians who've had a form of godliness but haven't continued to grow. I love the small group speakers, Stephen and Marilyn, because they really gave a precursor to this message. It's not enough to just read or come to church. We have to be growing as disciples of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said in Matthew 24, he said to them, watch out. Watch out. We want to know, the disciples, we want to know, what's it going to be like? How will we know? And Jesus gives them these words, watch out. Watch out. Watch out. And he says in verse 42, therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. You know, it says in that chapter 2, if the person who owned the house knew the time and the day the thief was coming, he would have prepared. He'd say, oh, no. But he didn't know. So it's our job to watch out. And so I said to my husband, I'm so disturbed about this. There's so many things that even seem close to truth and seem like what's the word? Compassion, or seem like something good, and yet it just smacks of something that's not right. My spirit was disturbed. And I said to my husband, I said, you know, hon, how are we going to know? How are people going to know? The Bible says even the very elect. And he said something to me which got me on this path. He said to me, the way you know is to know the genuine. You don't study the counterfeit. You hearing me? You don't study the counterfeit. You study the genuine. How does a bank teller, do we have any here? We have any people work in the bank? How do they get to know when a counterfeit is being passed? Now, I admit to you, I did a lot of research on counterfeiting. I hope the FBI wasn't watching me. They may think that I'm trying to... I did a lot of research on counterfeiting. And on this independentbanker.org, it says, the best way to detect a counterfeit bill is about as low-tech as it's possible to be. It's the unique texture of the 25% linen and 75% cotton paper that can feel off to experienced hands. Another one says, you must start by teaching new employees the texture, the watermarks, the microprinting, the color-shifting ink on the denominations. Are you getting this? I know none of you on... Cornell University says the texture of the bill. People who handle money many times, such as cashiers, can identify a lower quality fake bill instantly just by touching it. There's a lot of things, business know-how. Hold the bill to the light. Look at it. In other words, look at the real thing. Look at the genuine. Don't just be concerned about what's fake and what's... Why would you spend your time studying the fake? Now, I agree there's a time to come and understand the cults. There's a time to understand misgivings that people pull things out of context. But the best way to combat our being fooled and duped and not watching out is to not know enough of the genuine. There was a Chinese boy who wanted to learn more about jade, that precious. I'm amazed. Have you ever seen what a Chinese can do with jade, the carvings and the beauty of it? And he wanted to study with one of the best. So he went to this man and he said, I need to be trained by you. And the man said, okay. So he gave him a piece of jade. And he sat there just talking to him for an hour. And this went on for week after week. And the boy was so respectful of his teacher. He didn't want to say, what kind of training is this? All he does is ask me about my family. He asks me about the weather. He talks to me about different things. What kind of training is this? And so one day, the boy went in and he handed him the jade. And he goes, wait! This is not real jade. You see, all those weeks, the boy who he thought the teacher was not teaching him, he got to experience the feel, the texture, the weight of the real thing. So that when something counterfeit was put in his hand, he knew what was real. Hallelujah. As Christians, listen to me. We must know the genuine. We must watch out. We must not just know secondhand. We just need to know cultural gospel. Do you know there's such a cultural gospel? We go to church. We have our friends. We do our thing. And yet we're never growing. We're not studying the genuine. And so when somebody comes along and puts a little bit of the tainting in with the real, we're not equipped to say, wait a minute, get that out of my life. In Jesus' name, I'm going to stick with the word of God. I know if it's not in here, I don't believe it. There is such an epidemic of Bible illiteracy. It's an epidemic in our culture. We have more Bibles than ever. I mean, you come to Pastor Dave in my house, we need more shelves for the Bibles we have. Plus, we use Bible Hub, Bible Gateway, Bible, Blue Letter Bible. Everything is available online. Yet this Bible illiteracy, a study by Lifeway said in the United Kingdom that they were asking children, and one in three didn't know that the Nativity was part of the Bible. Over 59% didn't know that Jonah being swallowed by the great fish is in the Bible. To make it worse, the adults were no better. Around 30% of the parents don't know that Adam and Eve, David and Goliath, or the Good Samaritan are in the Bible. And listen to this. 27% think Superman is or might be a biblical story. Plus Harry Potter. Plus the Hunger Games. This is a story from the Bible. Bible illiteracy is rampant. But the problem is, it's not just that people don't know the Bible stories. If we don't know the Bible, we don't know the doctrine. We don't know on what foundation we're standing. And they say, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. We need to rightly divide the word of truth. We need it. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. What our speaker said this morning about the home group was that we need to be able to study it and then apply it. We need to study it so that we'll know. And I say prophetically today, listen. The days are coming shorter and shorter, where even the very elect, even you and I, Satan can be after us to put a little bit of truth into a lot of false things that are devilish and lead us astray. Brother will betray brother. It's going to be awful. And if we don't have a solid foundation, we will not know the truth. We need to know the word of God. In the Amplified Version, it says, study and do your best to present yourself to God, approved, a workman tested by trial who has no need, no reason to be ashamed, accurately handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. A little truth can be dangerous. A little truth can be dangerous. We want to share God's word, but more than that, we want to live it, as been said today. We don't want to have just a Christianity that's a religion. God forbid. God forbid. You know, the Pharisees were the most learned of all the scriptures in Jesus' time. And they didn't know when the Messiah was in their midst. God forbid that we miss the genuine. God forbid that we miss the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. There's such a decline in church attendance. The Gallup poll says half of Americans are church members, down from 70% in 1999. And most of that decline is attributable to an increase in percentage of people with no religion. Membership has fallen 9 points among those who are religious. We don't come together to fill a building. I'm not interested in giving my life to see some kind of building built over there. I'm not interested in serving a congregation just to have a job. I am interested in the church of God. And I know you are too, many of you, being the church of God, being the light, being the truth, knowing and rightly dividing the word of truth. So we're not some kind of people who are illiterate, not built on any foundation, but just going with the wind. What is cultural? And believe me, I believe we need to reach our culture. I've been studying some things. How do we reach our culture? How do we can change some of the methods, but we cannot change the Word of God. We cannot change. God's plan is for the church. God's plan is for the church. He died for the church. It's His bride. And as Pastor David said, don't molest His bride. This is God's plan. We cannot change it. We cannot add or take away from it. We have to seek the whole counsel of God. In Hebrews 10:25, it says, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. We don't push coming to church just so we can fill more seats. Yes, I want to do it. But I want to do it because I want to see you being trained. I want to see you reaching your generation. I want to see more people know Jesus Christ in our neighborhood and around the world. That's why we want to grow. We must never stray from the truth. There's such a consumerism in America. Well, I like that church because it has that program. I like this church because it has a 7:30 in the morning so I could have my day to do my own thing. Listen, I believe in being efficient. I believe in making adjustments, making changes to help people get to know God. But when we come to a point of consumerism, let's go to Wendy's. Let's have Wendy's church. Because if we don't have any truth and we're just coming and meet together just to fill a building or just to have cool programs or cool technology, we're missing the boat. We've been so overtaken with consumerism. We're constantly being bombarded on TV and in everything else with what's cool, what's good, what's needed. And if we don't know this, we could be swayed so easily. We could be swayed. Don't think it's not possible. We've seen it happen with amazing men and women of God who've loved God. And I don't preach fear. I don't preach guilt. I don't preach shame, because I know that what God has for us is exceedingly abundantly above. But I tell you the truth. I used to see a film when we were teenagers. Well, actually a little older. We were youth pastors. And we showed this movie, even in the high schools, if you could believe it. We had a program called Sub Sub in Valley Stream Central High School. And as youth pastors, we were allowed to go in and show a film called A Thief in the Night. It was about the second coming of Christ and how you need to be prepared. And I'll tell you, how many kids gave their heart to the Lord? Even the Earl brothers who are in the ministry, one of them at least. But in this film, you see a pastor. And after the church has been raptured, the ones that really knew God, the ones that really followed Him, he's at the altar and he's crying and crying and crying. And he sees people coming in that he was so sad they didn't make it to heaven. And he had deep regrets. And he said, you're here too? I'm so sorry. I didn't preach the truth. I'm so sorry that I just gave what people wanted to hear. That I just talked about the blessings. I just talked about the healings. I just talked about how good God is and how wonderful He is. I'm sorry that I didn't tell the whole counsel of God. This truth. We just can't assume that we're going to, just because we say Jesus is Lord, if we live like the devil or we don't live according to this or we're duped to living some other lifestyle, that we're going to make it into heaven. I was, Lord, this is a hard message. And I asked for some confirmation and I saw this on Facebook and it gave me chills. It said there was a pair of lips. And it was, they were covered with sugar, like candy. And it says, God forbid that we don't preach the whole counsel of God, that we just sugarcoat it. That's how it says. We can't sugarcoat the gospel of God. Yes, there are benefits. There are blessings here and in the future. Yes, it costs something, as we heard. But I cannot this morning sugarcoat this. just a few weeks ago. And lest you try to think of where and when this happened, don't think about it. It had nothing to do with this church or any activities here. I went to a function, and there was a man there. I was going to say a young man, but he's not that young anymore. He was in our youth group. And I said to him, "How you doing, friend? How are you?" "Oh, I'm doing great." "Oh, good, good. Yeah, I have my battles and so on." I said, "You're going to church? Following the Lord?" "I'm religious." He goes, "I'm religious. I love God in my own way." Sad thing is this guy married a non-believer who's so open to the gospel, and he has never led her to the Lord. He has two handsome, strapping sons that are probably in their late 20s, maybe early 30s. He's never set an example to get up and bring them to church. And now, these boys, he was telling me how religious he is. And I'm thinking to myself, dude, do you think you're enough? You think you could sit home, not grow, not learn the counsel of God, not be involved with fellowship, not do anything, and you're enough for your family? Listen to this. Please, please, listen. Afterwards, I spoke to his son. I said, "How are you doing?" He said, "Oh, I spent the night in the emergency room." I said, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah, I was in a bar. Someone slipped something into my drink, and I passed out vomiting. And I wound up in the emergency room." This boy could have died. But his father thinks he's enough. His father thinks that him sitting home, that God's going to just come down and drop things in. Now, believe me, I believe in miracles, and God has many ways of working. But we are not off the hook because we choose not to believe and not believe and be responsible. We are not off the hook. I don't want to know what's going on in the world, really, because it sickens me. But because I choose not to believe it, if I get infected with it, or someone I love, or this church, it's my responsibility and yours. Here he is telling me he's religious. He doesn't need the church. He doesn't need to grow. He doesn't need anything. But he's enough for his family. And his son told me he was passed out. He didn't even know what happened until he woke up in the hospital. He's in danger. This is a critical time in which we live. There's so much that wrong seems right. And I ask you to forgive me for this, but I've been so burdened by this. I've been so burdened. You know this church preaches love. We preach the truth of God. We are known as the most loving, huggy church, right? But it's not just phony, it's genuine. When you're in a hard place, these brothers and sisters stand with you. They pray with you. They love you. Bring a meal. Do what they can. They're here for you. We're here for the long haul. But it's not enough to be loving. We have to speak the truth in love. We're living in a critical time. I saw on Facebook a few weeks ago something that made my heart literally stop. Well, I didn't die, but thank God, right? A friend that I had met at a retreat posted something from the California School District Sex Education Program. It was unbelievable. From kindergarten all the way through high school, kids are indoctrinated with things about gender, things about kinky sex. Some of the materials are borderline, well, they are pornography. Our kids are getting sold a bill of goods that's a bunch of lies. Kids, you need to know the word of God and what he says. There's not safe sex. There's no sex before marriage. Come on. God's word doesn't change. And why did he say that? To spoil our fun? Did God say that to spoil our fun? But he knows everyone that you have a sexual relationship has a part in your life. So we need to speak the truth in love. This is what's going down the tubes in our schools. Even little children in kindergarten are told they don't have to live as a boy or girl or what they were born in, that there's different gender identities. Come on, are you not surprised at this? New York City has 31 different gender identities that they accept. 31. The Bible says God made them male and female. God made them male and female. You can even, in California, opt out of the sexual teaching, but you can't opt out of the gender. You must teach the children that from kindergarten. There's confusion. I want to tell you a funny story in the middle of it to make you remember. But when I was giving birth to my second daughter, this is my number one baby right here, my darling. I know you couldn't tell, right? We don't look alike. I had a friend that said, Angela, my goodness, in Yankee Stadium, you could pick her out that she's yours. But my second daughter, I kept telling my doctor, it was a new doctor, I want to have my baby natural. I want to have my baby natural. I don't want any medicine. I want to have my baby natural. So I went to the hospital in labor. You're all laughing, I know. I went to the hospital, and I was in labor. It was going good, but right about a few hours after, it was getting painful. So he kept telling me for the 9 months I'd visit him. And I want to tell you, I don't think anybody's ever gotten pregnant like me, except maybe Shekinah. But I was as round as I was tall. Is that true? I had gained probably 60 pounds almost, 50, 60 pounds. I couldn't sleep. It was like having an elephant on my body. And for 9 months, he'd say to me, look, Mrs. Munizzi, don't feel like that. If I said, no, doctor, I really don't want to take medication. Okay. So the day of delivery comes, and now it's starting to get intense. Liz was 8.5 pounds. So I'm almost at the end, and I said to him, doctor, can you give me something? And he looked at me and he said, you're almost there. I'm not going to give you anything. Unbeknownst to me, there had been a complication that he wanted the baby to come out as soon as possible, and he didn't want to slow it down. Unbeknown to me, so he didn't want to alarm me. So he said, you know what? You're almost there. I looked at him. Now, you got to admit, I'm in labor. I'm hard to handle when I'm not in labor, can you? I said to him, are you for real? Are you telling me that you're not going to give me anything after all of these months of telling me if I need? No, come on, you're doing good. I said, if you're not giving me anything, this baby is coming now. I started pushing and pushing. Blood vessels broke in my face. Is that right, Pastor Dave? Blood vessels broke in my face. They hardly had time to get me into the delivery room. They threw me up on the table, put me in the saddles, and as soon as they helped me with an episiotomy or whatever it was, the baby come flying. I really am going somewhere with this. So the nurses were startled. And all along, you see, David's mother had girl, boy, girl, boy, girl, boy, girl, boy, for 9 kids. My mother had 2 kids, a girl and a boy. And the way I was carrying, the doctor and all of us were sure. We had a name, David. David Mark or what? It was a boy. Even my doctor was sure. Yeah, we didn't have sonograms in that. This was, you know, the Stone Age. So the baby literally, am I telling the truth, got caught in midair because I pushed so hard that the baby came flying out, and the nurses wrapped her and they did their thing, and then they took the baby in the corner. And they wrote on the thing, boy, Munizzi. And the footprints. In the corner, I see the nurses, and they're like, I'm like, what's wrong with my baby? They go, doctor, this is not a boy. Literally, on Lizzie's birth certificate, Elizabeth, that she has from the hospital, they have girl, a boy, and then crossed out and girl. Of course, she got the one from the city after, but literally on her first birth certificate, it says boy. Now, if we were living in today's day and age, what could they have said? God created man, male and female. Now, that doesn't mean we all don't have different tendencies or need counseling or help to realize things. We're not heartless. We know that there are confusing things that happen. Children are raped. Children are attacked. Children go through all kinds of things where they need counseling. But that doesn't mean we change the law. We change the world because we need to help somebody. Do you know, I read this morning that there are states now that on the birth certificate won't put male or female. There's X. I don't know if they put it on the birth certificate or if after the they can change it when they change this X. And then the complication runs into, and I read on this morning, believe me, I've read so much on counterfeit on this, that more than I want to know. But because of that, now they're changing birth certificates so you can be an X. That means licenses have male or female. That means Social Security have male and female. We are rewriting all of America because there is just simple ways to help people that with truth that we're ignoring and that we're trying to build systems all around the truth when the truth will set us free and enable us to get at the heart of what's troubling these precious young people. I don't want them confused. I don't want them being sold a bill of goods from the government or anybody else that will legislate things that are not godly. Be aware, church. Watch out, parents. Look at what your children are watching. Look at what they're learning. Look at what they're absorbing. Make sure they're learning about God. Make sure they're learning the truth and growing in God. It's not one time and for all that we come to this altar and then it's done. Sanctification is progressive. Salvation is instant. I say, Jesus, I thank you that you are the Son of God and you died for my sins. I believe you are my Lord and I'm saved. But now, for sanctification, it takes a lifetime. It takes purity. It takes reading. It takes understanding. It takes people who could speak the truth in love to you. It takes growing in God, fulfilling your purpose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want Catalyst not just to be known as a loving church. I want it to be known as a church where we love people, but we also tell the truth, where we also stress the truth. Don't be ignorant of the enemy's devices. The Satan wins when we're ignorant. That's him. Deception, counterfeit, false teachings, false doctrines. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Parents, we're learning in youth. They're going to do the Alpha Course. The Alpha Course will teach them fundamentals of the faith. The church is doing everything we can. But parents, you might have to sacrifice to bring them. You might have to give up some time. You may have to encourage them that this is better than sports, that this is better than other things that are going to be fleeting. Don't think, parents, that you can do it on your own. We need the Lord. We need to keep growing ourselves. And we need, oh God, the body of Christ that's honest and pure and going forward in God. I feel that way for our children, too. This is starting so young. This is starting so young. I just heard the other day where a boy was being bullied and being teased because he had a boy that was a friend. This is very rampant in our age. And I want Catalyst to be a place. Listen, if you could come here week after week after week and not feel conviction. Now, not guilt. Guilt, the enemy will beat the sheep. He'll say, you're bad. You're no good. You're a sinner. There's no hope for you. But the loving shepherd says, this got to come out. This got to change. I remember when the Lord, I grew up in the church and I was a piece of work. But I remember when the realization of how filthy I was and how much I needed God entered my life. It changed me. It changed me. It humbled me. This is not something we tip God and come to the altar and come to the front and pray a little prayer and then go back and do whatever we want. This is a life change. This is saying, God, you're more important than anything else in my life. My job, my riches, my lack of riches, everything. God, you're number one in my life. God, I've seen things come. I've seen things go, but Jesus never changes. Let's pay attention up here. Please, if you've been coming to this church and you love the church, but you've never made a commitment to Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, don't even wait for me to finish this message. Come up to the altar. We've seen this happen. I remember growing up in services where my father would be preaching, and it wasn't because it was just such a special message, or it was because a special holiday or an evangelist, but the Spirit of God was so strong that sin was being convicted, and people would say, I want to separate myself from that life. I want to go forward in Jesus Christ. Because, you know, one day we will all see Jesus. And I'm not just talking about the future. You know, we don't know how critical the times are. I don't know how much longer we're going to have the freedoms that we have. I don't know how much longer we're going to have the opportunity to be the church that we see today. I don't know. I sense something in my spirit stirring. I sense something that's saying, watch out! This is nothing to fool with. But you know, even if Jesus tarries another 10, 20, 100 years. We all have an appointment with Jesus and we don't know. And I felt led to share this again. I'm not trying to put guilt to shame, but this is what the Lord gave me. And I don't want to be like that pastor in A Thief in the Night that said this saying, oh, God, another one that didn't make it because of me. I don't want that. If you don't like me, I'm sorry. I want you to like me. I love you. but I need to discharge this before God. My father had a boy in his church. His name was Eddie. And Eddie would come every week, but he was hard as nails. Hard as nails. He just would not relent. And one Sunday, the Holy Spirit came on my father. And he said, he went out to the car. And he said, Eddie, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Eddie, give your heart to Jesus. And Eddie said, he was a nice kid. Oh, Pastor, okay, not today, but thank you. Eddie went hunting that week and died in a hunting accident. And we don't know if he's in heaven today. He was given the opportunity. We need to know the truth. The Lord says, my spirit will not always strive with man. My spirit will not always strive with man. If God's speaking to your heart today, thank him. I thank him that he speaks to me. Because we can become so hardened and so reprobate that nothing moves us. We think the gospel's like a fairy tale. We think it's like, oh, it's cool. Yeah, I got Jesus and I got everything else. When you have Jesus, you have everything. It may be hard. It may be sacrifices, our two speakers said. It's a cost. But hallelujah, it's worth it. It's worth it to put your head on the pillow at night and know that your sins have been forgiven, that you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, that God has a hope and a future for you. I'm going to close with this. And I actually read this off of Monica's Facebook this week. Thank you, Monica. C.S. Lewis says, when the whole world is running towards a cliff, he who is running in the opposite direction appears to have lost his mind. I'm going to read it again. When the whole world is running towards a cliff, he who is running in the opposite direction appears to have lost his mind. And you know what? The world looks at it like that. And I want to just say, too, I wrote this down. I don't want to be political. And I don't want to be politically correct. I want to be biblically correct. Amen. This is the gold standard. And let me tell you, the Bible is full of love too. So don't take your Bible and slam somebody on top of the head with it and think you're being biblically correct. That can turn to pride and arrogance. No, 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 no. The whole counsel of God, speak the truth in love. But I know it's going to get harder and harder. Political correctness now tells us we can't identify genders. Political correctness says if you're going to have sex before marriage, just protect yourself. This is the gold standard. There's a reason for it. He who finds it finds life. I'm going to ask Pastor David to come up and see if he has anything to add. I ask you, if you've come to the service today, it's not by accident. Please don't leave this place if you have not prayed to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and as your Lord. Not just your fire escape, not just fire insurance, but Lord of your life. Pastor David.
Amen. 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 Let's take care of that right now. Would you bow your head with me, please? If you're here this morning and you feel the stirring of the Holy Spirit in your heart, you feel the conviction. It even makes you feel uncomfortable. That's when God's trying to say to you, there's something wrong that's got to be made right. The way you're living is dangerous. You can't just use God as fire insurance, just in case. While every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you say, I want to repent of my sins, I want to declare that Jesus, I need Jesus in my life. I need him to forgive me. I need Jesus to forgive my sins. Would you just lift a hand? Nobody looking around. I just want to say, yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Anybody say, yes, I need Jesus. I'm not ashamed. Yes, God bless you. Appreciate the honesty. Yes, I see that hand. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Precious Holy Spirit, do your mighty work here. Intercessors are praying right now.